try and do better with his help. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks very much that you show us in the Bible, indeed, that you always want us to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Please help us, help me to be a good helper, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the reading today, you heard that there's Jesus healing a blind man. And what he did there was just great. He actually healed a man born blind. He has the power to give sight to blind people also, like you and me. Jesus once said that the sin only remains when we say we can see. Isn't that funny? If we say we can see perfectly, Jesus says, no, your guilt remains. But if we say, well, yeah, I don't probably see everything so well, then he says, okay, now you're forgiven. See how it works? It's so funny how that works. I want to talk about three things that I think, as I prayed about it, I realized I'm so bad at it. But then I realized, well, maybe I'm not the only one. Maybe there are three things that you didn't do so good that you want to do better in 2020 as well. So here's the first one. The first one is dullness. Dullness. Spiritual understanding. Some people got on Jesus and the disciples when they tried to eat without washing their hands. They said, oh, you guys are not clean. Very bad. And Jesus says this to them. He doesn't explain it. First he says, are you so dull? Do you totally not get it? Don't you get that when we eat something, it goes into the stomach and then is expelled out the body? That doesn't make anybody unclean. What makes a man unclean is what comes out of his heart. The thoughts and desires and actions that are led that way from the heart, that makes the man unclean. And so you and I have to constantly work on not being so dull spiritually. Now, we know it's easy to do. We are human. But nevertheless, God does not want us to be that way. We can't just say, well, that's just the way I am. That's not going to work. One of the things that they used to get on Jesus about is they would say, why do you always teach us in parables? Why can't you just tell us plainly? Maybe then we wouldn't be so dull. But he answers that. Listen to what he says. This is in Matthew 13. They ask him, why do you always do that? They were getting a little frustrated with him, actually. Look what he says. He says, I do this. I speak to everybody, the crowds, in parables, because though seeing, they don't see, though hearing, they don't hear, nor do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Now listen to this. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving, for this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. And I would heal them. And see, for you and me today, it's like he's saying this. Okay, you people are Christians. You go to church. You kind of get a lot of spiritual things. But never should we think that we're so spiritually sharp that, you know, that we get everything. How many of you, let me just see a show of hands, find things in the Bible that are hard to understand? Let me just see your hand. Okay, now I'd be the first one to say this. And what I've come to realize now as an older person is that often the reason we don't understand some things in the Bible is perhaps because we don't want to. Does sounds a little strange, I know. I mean, take me for example. Many years ago, when I was curious about Jesus, I was quite young, and I snuck off to see a pastor. I didn't even tell my wife because I was kind of curious, but I didn't want anybody to know, you know. And when I asked him, how does it really work? He said, okay, this is how it works with Jesus. And he explained it very nicely about salvation and forgiveness and how through faith, if I trusted him, then I had it. And this is what I said to him. I'm not making this up. I actually sat there and said, look, you probably don't understand that, you know, I'm a gypsy guy and I can't really be a Christian. And then he stood up from his desk and he looked at me with these steel blue eyes and said, no, you don't understand. He said, Jesus died for all, even gypsies, even you. And I said, oh, okay. But you see, he was angry that there was this guy sitting there and gypsies who were fooled by the evil one to think, oh no, that's not for us. That's not for us. See, we all have a thing in our heads, and it's, I call it the, who do you...
Okay, we're on. Maybe we could just turn it up a little. You have to remember that we think we understand everything so wonderfully. We don't. And the only way to get rid of our dullness, our lack of understanding, is first of all to say, okay, maybe I didn't really want to understand it. Maybe I was thinking, who do I think I am to understand all these deep things of God? And once you confess that, you know, God is already ready to do it for you. But we have to address it. See, that's something I hope we can commit to in 2020, that we will actually say, yeah, that's such a dumb thing, but I keep doing it. But you don't have to. So dullness is something I hope we can work on in 2020. The second one is a real easy one to think about, idolatry. We know that idolatry is still the worst problem for each and every one of us. I'll tell you why. Because it's sinning against the first commandment. Now, the weird part is, if you really want to know what you're doing all the time, just look at the commandments. The thing we're doing first is we're making other gods besides God. And the thing we're doing, number 10, is we're coveting things. But number one, the worst thing we do is we're constantly trying to make an idol. Now, the easy one I could talk about, of course, is money. And that's a simple one. But I'm not really going to talk about that. What I'd rather talk about is ways that we make an idol of a lot of things. A wiser head than mine, a man named Lewis, said it this way. Listen, he says, we may give human loves the unconditional allegiance which we owe only to God, then they become gods. Then they become demons. Then they will destroy us and also destroy themselves. For natural loves that are allowed to become gods do not remain loves. Any boyfriends and girlfriends out there thinking, yeah, I know how that goes. They are still called so, but can become, in fact, complicated forms of hatred. See how it goes? Now, if you're older like me, you can think of times when you said, yeah, I gave unconditional allegiance to a person or to a thing or to a whatever. And it worked out very badly for me. But if you're younger, please hear us. Don't allow people to ever put you in that situation. We are to love. That's commanded in the Bible. But we do not owe them unconditional allegiance. That goes to God, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids. How about nobody except God? Sounds weird, doesn't it? Just happens to be true. See how easy it is to make an idol of something? I don't have any grandchildren, but I have about 50 adopted ones that I see all the time. And sometimes I think, oh, if I could love these children so much and they're not my blood grandkids, wow, what it must be like to have real ones, you know, biological grandchildren. Must be hard not to put them in the place of God. And so I think we live in the days now where money is not the thing that people chase so much, but I think what I notice is I listen to people and I look at the culture and I try to study, I find that having these really super great friendships with our family is supposed to be some kind of an idol now. And I don't see it in the Bible, actually. The only thing that God says you are to do with those you love is make sure that somehow they get to know about Jesus. And if you're doing that, then just calm down. There's nothing more to it. You don't have to pressure yourself. Isn't that great? God doesn't want you to run around and show everybody that you're unconditionally allegiant to them. But better, let them see that unconditionally your allegiance is to Jesus. That will make a better difference in their lives. Because I think, as Lewis says, after a while, it becomes a complicated form of hate. That's what happens. So we don't want that. Now, let me tell you another reason why you don't want idolatry. And I don't think this gets explained, so I'm going to explain it now. If you continue in idolatry, what you'll find is you're always afraid. Now, we know that human beings are afraid a lot of the time, and the reason is because of this reason, because of idolatry. Let me explain. See, idolatry always says this: if you worship me, you can have this. I'll let you think about that. Fill in the blank. If I worship blank, if I give unconditional allegiance to blank, I can have blank. Right? Stay with me. Now, if you're not getting this, raise your hand, because the next point is very contingent on what I just said. You got to get the first point. It's saying, worship me, whatever it is, and you will have this. God says, worship me, and you will be this. See the difference? One is about having something. One is about being something. Let me tell you why it's so important. Because God says in the Bible, do not be afraid. Now, he doesn't say, thou shalt never feel afraid. He doesn't say that, does he? Because everybody's afraid all the time. Whenever I see young people, I hate to pick on you, but I'm just going to tell you this right now. So wherever you go, school, friends, teachers, whoever you know, they're all scared. Either just as scared or more scared than you. But I know you're thinking, well, yeah, but how come they can do stuff I don't do? You know why? They simply have said, I'm scared, but I'm not going to become fear. I'm going to feel it. I have it. But it's not the boss. What God says is the boss. And in my better self, the one that follows Jesus, I'm going to do that instead. Ask any preacher, they'll tell you. We're always scared getting up here. We never admit it, of course, but we are. But God said, do not be afraid. He never said, don't have fear inside you. It's there. You'd never get rid of it in this life. But be afraid. Do not be that person who allows fear to take over. But if we stay in idolatry, that's all you get is fear and more fear and more fear. But God says, guess what? If you have me, I'm the only one that you can take with you when you die. And he's the best thing. You get to take him with you. All the stuff, all the beautiful family, none of them. Martin Luther said, when I go, I'm all by myself. Nobody's standing with me. We all go alone. Only Jesus can go with you. That's the only possession. Because you can say, yeah, I possess Jesus. He possesses me. I possess him. That's the only thing that goes with me. The only person. The Savior, Jesus. That's the greatest thing. So let's put away idolatry and let's bop it on the head every day, because you know it's going to bob its head up every single day. The third one was the most obvious one. We have to work on our blindness. We must work on blindness. Jesus said to a group, he said, you know, whenever I heal a blind person, then I say, you know, you guys are blind too. And then they say, what? We're not blind. We're not blind. What are you talking about? And he says, well, now your guilt remains because you say you can see. So you and I always have to say, no, I can't see so good. And it's very simple why I can't see so good. It's because I have a plank in my eye, just like you do. And so like Jesus says, why do you go to your brother to take out the speck of sawdust when, in fact, you have a plank in your own eye? You can't see well enough. He says, first work on that, and then you'll be able to help the other one. That, for me, has become my daily thing for 2020. And by the way, I'll just offer this to you. When I was younger, I never liked to tell people what I did with my devotions, but as I've gotten older, I think people could use the guidance. So here's what I'll say to you. Find a verse that you don't like and use that one. That's the one I don't like. Matthew 7:15, I believe it is. And I don't like it because, you know, no matter what happens, I constantly have to look inward instead of saying, well, what about what this person, what about what you did? Or what about this? Now, why does Jesus want me to do that? I think it's because, like you, he wants me to practice for becoming not like him, but actually becoming God's. I mean, that's what happens. And we practice now. You see, trying to please God has become, trying is in a bad reputation right now. Have you noticed this? I talk to a lot of young people all the time, and they're really fed up with trying. I don't want to try. Why not? Well, this person didn't try, and look what he has. This person, blah, blah. How did this happen, folks? I don't know, but it's very evil. It's an evil part of the culture, and we've all got to do our parts to show that we don't try for what we get. We try because of what we could become in the trying. Atticus Finch, you know, he gets quoted a lot these days. Of course, he's just somebody living in Harper Lee's imagination, but you know what he said? So Scout says, well, Atticus, if you know you're going to lose, then how come you're going to take the case? And he says, well, Scout, even if we know we're going to lose, that doesn't mean we can't try to win. He was a wise man. He knew what you'll become in the trying. Ask any older person, they'll tell you. I'm so glad this church has a nice mix of younger and older. That's just the best. Because you younger ones can learn from these gray hairs, you know. They know what it's like to feel deathly afraid, like I can't move, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway, here I go. Man, and it works. It works. Young people don't know this, but you got to get that. The feelings never go away. The bad feelings never go away. The scared feelings never go away. The whatever feeling you don't like, it's not going to go away. It's just there. But it's up to you and me, with God's help, to decide what direction we're going to go. You know, I'm not your pastor, but I am your friend. And I'm asking you today to join me and say it in your hearts. Yeah, God, I'm dull when it comes to spiritual things, but I don't have to be. And with your help, I can be sharper. And yeah, I idolize things that, you know, I bow down in worship and give unconditional allegiance to things and to people that, you know, are not worthy of that. And also, I want to see better. I want to see myself. I want to see what you are trying to do with me. Because, Lord, one thing I know is that whatever you are doing is good. Doesn't feel good, but it is good. Because he's the one, folks, who died for you, rose from the dead, and is preparing a place for you and for me. And so I hope that you will also join me in that prayer. Because as you do, one thing I know, God will bless you. Amen. I think now we confess the words of the creed. Why don't we stand as we confess the creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You can't